Amen. Look with me again to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21, as we go into the Word of God today. Again, happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. I believe my mom is on. Amen. So happy Mother's Day to her. Happy Mother's Day to my lovely, lovely wife. Happy Mother's Day to my grandmother. I think I saw my cousin Lasheen on. Happy Mother's Day to her. Sister Tracy, I see you. Happy Mother's Day, Sister Hope. Sister Leona, I see you. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. All my mothers in the Zoom, happy Mother's Day. Praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I want to thank Elder so much for reading that passage and sharing with us. Amen. It's not necessarily a familiar one, so I asked him to read a little bit more than maybe we would have normally gone. And we'll certainly recount this, a certain portion of it, to get the flow of this story. Look with me to verse 5. This is 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 5. They answered the king, "As for the man who destroyed us and plotted against us so that we have been decimated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let 7 of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and their bodies exposed before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen one." So the king said, "I will give them to you." Let's move down now to verse 10. This is 2 Samuel 21, verse 10. Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. Verse 11, when David was told what Ai's daughter Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went and took the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh Gilead. They had stolen their bodies from the public square of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hung them after they struck Saul down at Gilboa. David brought the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan from there. And the bones of those who had been killed and exposed were gathered up. They buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the tomb of Saul's father Kish at Zelah in Benjamin, and did everything the king commanded. After that, God answered prayer on behalf of the land. I want to speak from the title, Fight for the Family. Fight for the Family. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bless this time that we have together. I pray, God, that you would grant our mothers a beautiful Mother's Day where they feel the love and the appreciation, not only from their children, God, but God, let them feel the affirmation and the love from you, God, to know in this season and in this time, God, that they are in your hands and they are loved and cherished, Father. In this moment, God, we pray that you would grant us inspiration, that you would grant therapeutic healing, and that you would give us direction as we continue, Father, to press on. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Fight for the family. Fight for the family. Rizpah was a concubine of the first king of Israel, Saul. Though Saul had made a significant political and military advancements, his tenure was, as you all know, a spiritual failure. During Saul's reign, Rizpah bore to King Saul two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth. This Mephibosheth is not to be confused with the more popular Mephibosheth, who was the nephew of the Mephibosheth, which we just mentioned. Saul's reign comes to a tragic and a horrible end. Rizpah is now left husbandless. She has no covering. We know that in this particular time, it was certainly even more detrimental than it would have been today to now be husbandless and to be left a widow. Her children have no father. She is left alone. Her husband was the king, And now she's left in a hostile moment. The kingdom was temporarily divided after the death of Saul. This is not necessarily normally a part that's lifted up in our biblical history, but Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, took over for a short tenure after the demise of his father. David ruled in the kingdom of Judah, but Ish-bosheth ruled in the rest of Israel. After the controversy between General Abner and Ish-bosheth, the king, Ish-bosheth, was killed, and the entire kingdom came under the authority of David. Now, because we know the Bible, because David is a hero, this is a moment of blessings for us. And this is a time where we begin to rejoice, even as we hear the announcement this morning. But what you must understand is for Rizpah, who was the mother of Saul's children, and who was the wife, the concubine of the former king, this was a moment that felt rather treacherous, that this was a moment that she was rather fearful, and this is a moment of uncertainty for Rizpah. David, however, of course we know, was a spiritual, faithful king, and Rizpah, along with her sons, were able to survive under his administration. They were fine for a period of time, up until the moment, until a three-year famine broke out in Israel. David, after 3 years, determines that the famine is not just a famine, but it is a spiritual famine. David comes before the Lord. And when he comes before the Lord, he begins to pray and to inquire of God. God, what is the source of this famine? Why have we found ourselves in this particular dilemma? In 2 Samuel 21 and 1, the Lord answers David and says to him, it is on account of Saul and his bloodstained house. It is because he put the Gibeonites to death. 2 Samuel goes on to explain who the Gibeonites are. Verse 2 says, now the Gibeonites were not part of Israel, but were survivors of the Amorites. The Israelites had sworn to spare them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to annihilate them. In order to understand this covenant, we have to hit the rewind button and go back to the book of Joshua chapter 9. As the children of Israel are going into the promised land, fear fell on all the tribes. The Bible tells us that the Gibeonites, although they were within the territory that was to be conquered by Israel, constructed a plan to be able to get out of their dilemma. The Bible tells us that they put on dirty, torn clothes, that they got bread that was moldy, and that they looked like they were traveling from a long way. They said that we are from a faraway nation, a faraway people, but we have heard of you and we want to make a covenant with you that we will not be killed and that we will not be destroyed. You know the story. The Bible says that they shook hands with the Gibeonites at that time, that a covenant was made between the two of them, that that they would not kill the Gibeonites. It was discovered that they were a part of the land that was to be acquired by Israel. And after that inquiry, after they found that, after that discovery was made, the Bible tells us that the Gibeonites became vassals or became servants to the Israelites and lived in Israel from that moment. But Saul, as he began to stretch out the borders of Israel, as he began to push, ignored the covenant that had been made between the Gibeonites and slaughtered them. Saul, at this particular chronological moment, is now dead. But the sin that Saul committed is living on past him. And because of the position that he carried as the king of Israel, it is not only Saul's sin now, but it is now the nation's sin. Oh, I wish you'd hear me now. I wish you'd hear me. It is not just Saul's sin now, but it is now the nation's sin. Glory to God. Now Saul is dead, and David is now the king. And David is having to fight with what Saul did over a covenant that was made before either one of them was born. Oh, hear me somebody. God honored this covenant for years before Saul and David's birth. He judges David's administration for something Saul did. This is why I don't understand Christians who say that slavery is a thing of the past. This is why I don't understand Christians that say that we don't owe reparations in today. This is why I don't understand when we ignore what our ancestors went through. This is why I don't understand why we make comments like the African Americans today have nothing to do with what went on before us, because we serve a God that judges nations. He may not come when you want him. Oh, come on, somebody. So God sits outside of time. God is long-suffering. God, as we see in biblical history, and even, watch this now, even in conventional history, is not a God that ignores sin, even when it comes to nations. Let us return to Rizpah. The Gibeonites now come to David. They counsel together. How are we going to work this out? How are we going to resolve this particular situation? Bible says that the Gibeonites requested that sons of Saul would be murdered, that they would be killed and then stretched out before the Lord. The king consented to this, and their bodies are now stretched out before them. The Gibeonites requested this. As I looked at the passage again and began to meditate on this scripture again, I thought about the body of Michael Brown that was stretched out and exposed for 4 hours. They left him there in the scorching sun for 4 hours after he is killed. Their bodies are stretched out in the sun, stretched out in the sun. The Bible tells us now about this amazing, phenomenal woman by the name of Rizpah. In 2 Samuel 21 and 10, the Bible says, Rizpah, daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and she spread it out for herself on a rock. Sackcloth, we know, was utilized for repentance and for mourning, but she didn't just simply put it on her. She positioned herself now in this state of mourning and spread it out on the ground. And the Bible says that from the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down, don't wait, I'm coming back to that. But from the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let the birds, she kept flailing them away. She did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. What was she fighting for? This particular point, they're dead. This particular point, she cannot bring them back. Glory to God. I want to speak a word to some mothers. I heard Reverend Rita even begin to pray for the moms that have lost children. Glory to God. What was she fighting for in this moment? The children are now dead. Her sons are gone. What was she fighting for? She was fighting for their legacy and their dignity. Let me say that again. She was fighting for their legacy and their dignity. I told you I was going to come back to it. The beginning of the harvest was thought to be somewhere around April. But whenever the rain would come in Israel at this particular time, it is believed that the rains would come down in October. It means that for 5 months, oh, come on, somebody. For 5 months, she has positioned herself. For 5 months, she has fought back the birds. For 5 months, she has been in the rain and the harsh conditions. For 5 months, she has sat there fighting for her children, fighting for their legacy, fighting for their dignity. Glory to God. I want to speak to some mothers that are in a fight this morning. Glory to God. I told you that the title of the sermon is Fight for the Family. I want to let you know this morning that you have the victory, that God has strengthened you for the fight. He's not only given you the strength to push them out, glory to God, into this existence, but he's given you the strength to pray them through and to push them into destiny. Paul said, I'm praying for you. I'm travailing for you until Christ be formed in you. The words that are used in the Greek in that particular passage reach for metaphorically for the way that women carry a baby and then push the baby out. He says, I'm travailing. I carry, watch this, the mothers, you have carried them for 9 months, but you're still carrying them in the spirit until you push them off into destiny. And God has sent me here this morning to preach to you, to strengthen you, to say, breathe again, push again, bear down again, and believe God for your family. It's called us to fight. I'm not gonna hold you long because I know we gotta get to our Mother's Day dinners. Amen, there's some steak to eat. There's some scrimps if you're from the South. Amen, some scrimps to eat. Come on, scrimps, hallelujah. Amen, praise God. Somebody's bougie this morning. There's some lobster tails, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, I see you, Sister Deborah. I saw that finger go up, bless his name. Amen, that we're heading out there, but before we get there, I still need to talk to you because the spirit of Rizpah is still alive today. She is alive in the mothers that campaign for justice for their children. But many not only campaign for their children, but in an effort to preserve the memory, now champion the lives of those with whom their children represent. The spirit of Rizpah was alive in Emmett Till's mother, Mamie Till, who refused to close the disfigured body of her 14-year-old son. Emmett was brutally beaten and thrown into a river, and his body was brought to the point to where normally we would close the casket. But she said, I want the casket left open. Why? Because I'm demanding that something be done about my baby, and it will not be ignored. And Mamie Till, like Rizpah, refused to let it go down like that. The spirit of Rizpah is alive. Glory to God, in the mother and the family of George Floyd. The spirit of Rizpah is alive in the mother and the family of Breonna Taylor. The spirit of Rizpah is alive, glory to God. Amen, we can begin to call the roll from here in Ahmaud Arbery. The spirit of Rizpah is alive in the family of Michael Brown. The spirit of Rizpah is alive in North Carolina in the family of Andrew Brown. The spirit of Rizpah is alive in this Zoom, in Trinity AME Zion Church, in mothers that are praying right now, not just for children that have gone home to be with the Lord, but for their children right now, that the enemy wants to take their legacy, that the enemy wants to take their lives, but you refuse to let the devil have the victory because you are fighting for your family. For your family. I gotta move on. I'm almost done. But Rizpah fights, and we fight through fear and threats. Can you imagine the conversation that Rizpah is having from her family members right now? Girl, I understand. Girl, listen, come here, baby. Can you imagine that aunt? Can you imagine that first cousin, that second cousin, that third cousin twice removed? Can you imagine them coming now in this moment and pulling her to the side? Come here, baby. Come here. I know you hurting, but David is king and he's a nice man, but you don't need to be out there. You don't need to be out there. There's a couple of people that's lost their life with David now. David's nice, but don't be out there. Can you see them trying to convince her? She's got threats that are hanging out there. She's got threats. The hymn writer said it this way, fightings within. Oh man, I'm about to make myself happy. Amen, praise God. Fightings within, and then what? Fightings without. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have to deal with not just what is happening outside of you, glory to God, but you got to deal with the fears that are going on in your own mind that don't have anything to do with anything that somebody said, that don't have anything to do with what other people did, but just because of this sin-laden life and our own paranoias, you got to deal with fightings what? Within and fightings that are what? Without. And there she is, having to struggle just to be, just to stay in place in spite of the fears that she is dealing with. Can I preach to some phenomenal women that know what it's like to raise your children and go back to school at the same time and have to deal with some fightings? Can I speak to some phenomenal women that watch this now, not just women, but women that have a darker hue, come on, and have to go to work and have to deal with micro and macro aggressions from those that are around them that don't want them in those positions and are doing the work for two and three people and getting less pay because the devil is still active even in the workplace. Come on, somebody. And you do your best, but they still want to pay you less. So she has to fight through fears, fight through threats. Rispa fights and we fight through life's harsh conditions. So she's got her fears, she's got her threats, but now she's got to deal with the rain. Can you imagine now when it started raining? And listen now, it's one thing when it's drizzling. You know, when it's drizzling, I might go out and still take a walk. You know, it's all right. I just put the hood on my head and keep it moving. That's not the issue. But what about when it goes sideways? Anybody's life ever went sideways? What about when it goes sideways and the rain is pouring down and life's harsh conditions are coming down on you as she has to fight for her family through life's hard conditions? I want to thank God and say thank you to the mothers that are on this call this morning, that are on this Zoom this morning, that are on Facebook this morning, that have loved your children, that have fought for your children, and you've had to deal with harsh conditions. You've had to love your children and come into a room after you lost a job, and then they look in your face and they see the hurt and the pain, but you look at them and tell them it's going to be all right. Glory to God. But watch this. But then you go to your room and cry your eyes out and come before the God that told you that you could cast all your cares upon him, and you kept on going and you cooked the last couple of eggs. Come on, somebody. And you fried the last bit of bacon, and you didn't tell them that it was the last, because you were depending on God that said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken and his seed begging bread. And somehow, some way, hallelujah, God made a way out of no way. Anybody, that's your testimony this morning, you ought to give God the glory and praise him that not only did he make the ends meet, but God made the ends cross over and caused you to have overflow when the devil thought he was going to take you out. I know we're on Zoom this morning. I know you're in your house this morning, but you ought to throw your head back and shout yes. I gotta leave you alone. So Rispa fights and we fight through our fears and threats. Rispa fights, glory to God, and we fight, amen, Sister Deborah, through life's harsh conditions. Amen. Rispa fights, and our fight, hear me, is a spiritual battle. Uh-oh. Can I go there real quick? Because her fight, we've already seen, is spiritual because of the Gibeonites. But not only is her fight spiritual because of the Gibeonites, her fight is spiritual because of the father of her children in this instance has been dealing with demons that he did not resolve. Oh, yo, read your Bible now. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that because of his spirituality, and because he did not heed the warning of Prophet Samuel, and because he decided to do things his own way, the scripture says that evil spirits began to take over Saul, and Saul found himself trapped with evil spirits. And because he was never able to come to a point of repentance and true turnaround, ended up dying and left her to raise her boys by herself. It was a spiritual battle. Can I tell you, glory to God, every family represented here today, that all of us know what it's like to face a spiritual battle in our families. We were encouraged, and this is not in the notes, this is for free, but we were encouraged in the book by Peter Scazzaro to do a spiritual genealogy, to do just genealogies, period, of our family. But when you do that, you can see the way that the enemy has been trying to break into our families. And you can also see the spiritual legacy that God has given our families. This is a spiritual battle. Somebody put that in the chat on Facebook. Let me say it again. This is a spiritual battle. It is not just a job. It is not just getting another degree. It is not just getting your 2.5 kids out of your house to fly the coop. It is not just that, but it is a spiritual battle, because the Bible declares that we have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of man. God has placed a treasure in your family. God has placed treasures in your babies, and the devil is trying to ensure that what God has placed in them does not come out of them. The devil is even trying to hold you up, mama, because he understands that you have the power to go in your prayer closet. Glory to God, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and every thought that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. You have the ability to pray it down. You have the ability to stand in the gap. You have the ability to rebuke the enemy. You have the ability to build up the hedge. Come on, somebody. Amen. God is calling you to stand in the gap, because it's a spiritual battle. I got to leave you alone. Praise God. Rizba is fighting through her fears and threats. Rizba is fighting through life's conditions. Rizba, glory to God, has discovered that this is a spiritual battle, and she's determined to fan back the birds, glory to God, to fan back the ravens that are trying to land. Oh, glory to God. I feel something pulling me right here. I got to park for a second, because we're in a society that keeps sending messages to our children through TV, through their cell phones, through tablets. They're constantly trying to come to take the purity of our children, but we got to fan the birds. We got to fan the birds and get the enemy back and up out of our house. We got to fan the birds. They're coming, amen, through cell phones and conversations and friendships and relationships that are out of order. But God called you to fan the birds, man. I'm going to leave you alone. But Rizpa fights, and our fight is for those that we love. I know you say, Pastor Cox, now that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Amen. We can see that in the text, Pastor. Praise God. Amen, Pastor. That's not a deep point to close the message out. Oh, yes, it is. Because I want to let you know this. I want to let you know this as I let you go. That if you don't fight for them, who will? I'm going to say it one more time until it hits your spirit good. If you don't fight for them, who will? And now watch this now. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that we need to put up boundaries. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that we need to give people some straight up conversations that let them know where we're at and what we will and will not tolerate. But what I'm saying to you this morning is we have to make a decision that even if we have to have a season of physical removal, that we will not and never have a season of spiritual removal, that we will remain in the gap until we break up the plan of the enemy and until we see them come back to the Lord. I wish I had somebody that could go into a posture of warfare with your praise, that knows how to clap your hands and give God the glory and make the devil back up out of your home, back up out of your family, that could begin to declare God, that God is going to save my children, that God is going to deliver my grandbabies, that the Lord is going to turn it around for my cousins. Glory to God. Glory to God. And watch this. I love him so much that not only am I praying for them, but I'm lifting my hand saying, God, I'm available to you right now. And I want you to have your way, not only in their lives, but I want you to have your way in my lives. It is time for us to fight for the family. I'm going to give you up now because I couldn't preach on, because y'all know I'm happy by now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We could ride for a little bit, but I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna let you go. Amen. But it is vital, because we need to hear our babies. But it is vital right now. It is important right now that we take a moment and just do quick warfare. That we just take a moment and do quick warfare. Amen. I see people typing, amen, on Facebook. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. I see folks typing in the Zoom. Amen. I want us to just take a moment, mothers. Amen. This is our day to celebrate you. And I want to put you to work. I know. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Amen. But I just need to call on you real quick to encourage you in this pandemic. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. And I want to take a moment right quick, because we don't waste time in the spirit. How many believe that? Let me say that one more time. I don't know about you, but I don't waste time. When I get in front of, when I feel God, this is not time to waste time, but this is the time for me to put, either give him whatever I need to give him and let him know, or make whatever request. I don't waste time in the spirit. Come on, somebody. Amen. I say that with my tears. I always tell folks, don't just cry, cry out. Don't waste them. Amen. Don't waste them. Mm-mm. Now, when God said, I'm near to the brokenhearted, don't waste them. Hallelujah. And while we're in God's presence and we feel the anointing, I want you to lift up your loved ones. Can you do that for me real quick? Just take a moment. Go ham. Don't worry about those that are around you. Praise God. They'll get it when they see the manifestation. They might be talking trash about you today. They might say you're a little crazy for how hard you're praying and how hard you're praising. But when they see little Johnny and little Ray Ray and Keisha get saved, come on. Uh-huh. Come on. Begin to pray right quick. Open up your mouth. That's right. Cry loud. Spare not. Amen. Come on. Let it out. I'll tell them for you. These men, these women are not drunk as you suppose. They're praying. They're seeking God. The Spirit of God is praying through them, making intercessions. Come on. Take a moment. Let it out. You can't have my baby. Come on. I need some spiritual mothers. You may not have, amen, glory to God, amen. You may not have any kids of your own, but you have some that God placed in your spirit that are important to you. Come on, take up a wailing for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I touch and agree with every mother and father, because there's some fathers praying for their babies too this morning. I take up a wailing for every mother that's praying for her children, that's praying for her grandchildren. I come into agreement with them this morning, that's believing for a turnaround. And God, I come into agreement with them this morning that the veil would be pulled back from their baby's eyes, that their ears will pop open to the Spirit of God. And Holy Ghost, we request and we plead even now and ask you that you would begin to move over their hearts even now. Visit them in dreams, oh God. Hey. Visit them in dreams, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Begin to disturb them. Begin to move on them. Put people in their pathway to give certain conversations. Oh God, hallelujah. Amen. You are the God of the after the resurrection came walking through walls. Walk into parties. Amen. I know you do it because you did it for me. Walk into parties and begin to speak on them and put on them at bars. Come on. God, begin to move in their lives in places that the enemy thinks that he has them and that they are away from you and that they cannot be touched. But God, you are Christ's in all and through all, and this is all your world, and there is no door that the enemy can shut that you can't walk through. There is no wall that the devil can put up that you can't walk through. Go in bedrooms and break it up. Go in conversations. Get in text message feeds. Get in DMs and break up the plans of the enemy. Father, I thank you for testimonies off of this prayer, this agreement that we're having this morning. God, get the glory out of our babies' lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're watching and you've not received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, amen. While I was praying for babies, maybe you felt the Lord pulling on you. I'm going to lead you now in the sinner's prayer. It's not going to be long, but it's going to change your life if you pray it and you mean it. Amen. If you're not saved and you're not sure about, if you died right now, you say, Pastor, I don't know whether I will go to heaven or hell or what. You need to pray the prayer then. Right now. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I come this morning in Jesus' name, a sinner in need of your grace. I believe that you died for me and that you rose for me and that your blood washes away every sin. So I accept you this morning as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, you are saved. Amen. And we want you to inbox us. Maybe you'd like to be a part of the Trinity Church family. You inbox us as well. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.